We're holding on Chaf Zayin Amar Aleph, the fourth line. Mishnah said, Elu hein ma'amodos.
First,
may as well
finish one first.
Elohein Ma'amodis, the Mishnah said, that Ma'amodis are as follows, Lafisha Ne'emar, and then it started saying, because it says in the puzzle, Tabas B'nai Yisrael V'chola, command the Jewish people and tell them that there's a carbon to be brought every day. My comma, what exactly is the Mishnah saying? It starts off by saying, these are the Ma'amodis, and then it starts talking about a puzzle. Half a comma. What the Mishnah means is like this. Elohein Ma'amodis. Following our Ma'amodis, which are going to be described later in the Mishnah, the system of how the Ma'amodis work. Well, Ma'atam, Tikna Ma'amodis, and then implicitly the Mishnah is asking, so why did they set up Ma'amodis? Lepushinem, it's Sabbath, B'nai Yisrael, Ma'atalem, because, as the Mishnah continues, the Pasuk said, command the Jewish people and tell them, as Kavani Lachmi Le'ishai, my carbon, my food for my fire, the Tumah that's brought twice a day, now how can you have a person's carbon be brought and he's not standing there to observe it? Especially, I mean, many Rishonim talk about one of the basic ideas behind a carbon is that you're supposed to have in mind that what's happening to the carbon in principle should have happened to you. So you need to have the owner there. Now, technically, not always. I mean, we did have in Shtolik, for example, we learned about the boxes, that the collection boxes, the 13 shofars that they had over there, where one of them was, for example, for women to put in money for their korbanos, where then, you know, they could put in the money and then they'd be guaranteed that Beis Din would take care of getting everything out of that box that day and bring the korbanos. So when necessary, fine, you know, but in general, you want to have a person who's there doing their korban. The pashtus, yeah. I mean, there might be a difference in that regard, because there, first of all, we're talking about birds where you don't do smicha on them, and second of all, there, we're also talking about women where there's machlokas. We had in a few places already where the women do smicha. We had at the end of Rosh Hashanah, the halacha is they don't. But either way, nobody does smicha on birds, but on the other hand, nobody does smicha on the carbon tamid either, so that's not the issue. If you're a carbon, you're supposed to be there. Therefore, Iskinu Nevi'im Marashainim Esrim Abba Mishmaris, therefore the Uli Nevi'im, we'll say soon who those are, set up 24 Mishmaris of Kainim. I'll call Mishmar Mishmar, Hoya Maimed B'Yerushalayim, and corresponding to every Mishmar, there was a Maimed in Yerushalayim. There were people there to stand in Yerushalayim, to be there in the Bis Mikdash by the Korban. Shokoyin, Mishalavim, Mishal Yisraelim. Hikiyaz Man Mishmar Lalos, when it comes time for the Mishmar to go up to serve that week in the Bis Mikdash, Koyinim Levim, Olin Yerushalayim. The Koyinim and the Levim of that Mishmar would go to Yerushalayim, and the Yisraelim we discussed yesterday, whether is it that some of them would also go to Yerushalayim, or is it just whichever ones happened to be in Yerushalayim would be there, etc.
How long are they going to be
used for? How long it takes to travel, Rashi. Yeah. I mean, there's one of the kinnos that we say on Tisha B'Av mentions that it goes through the 24 Mishmaris of Kohanim. Most of them actually are called by nicknames rather than by their real name. But we see many of them are called by the names of the city. Actually, not many of them. For each one of them, it mentions, or most of them, it mentions the names of the cities where they were stationed. Each one of these 24 Mishmaris had one particular city that was their headquarters. And we can see from the list, those cities were all over Eretz Yisrael. So, yeah. Turn it up. Why don't we learn in a Braisa? Esrim v'abo Mishmaris v'Eretz Yisrael. There were 24 Mishmaris, and the Hagoras Agra says that specifically we mean over here Mishmaris of Levim, were in Eretz Yisrael as a whole. U'shteim esrim v'Yerichai, and then there were 12 in Yerichai. Question is, what do you mean? Shteim Esrei B'Yerichin, official in Lower Tova. There are 24 all over the country, and then of that, and then you have, furthermore, 12 stationed in Yerichai. That means you have 36 altogether. We know there's only 24 Mishmaris.
Either that, or you have 24, 12 or 6.
That's what we're going to say. Ela Shteim Esrei Mehen B'Yerichai. Rather, it means 12 of them were in Yerichai. Namely, what does that mean? Does it mean that always 12 of them were stationed in Yerichai? What it means is like this. He gives mana Mishmar Lalis. When it comes time for a particular Mishmar to go to Yerushalayim, and here, not necessarily when we say over here Mishmar, we mean more generically the Mishmar, and we mean the Maimed as well, though the Yisraelim who are going to be standing there to observe the Korban and to help out, etc. So each time when it came time for the Mishmar and the corresponding Maimed to go up, Chatzia Mishmar Hoya Olal Meretz Yisrael Yerushalayim, half of them would go from wherever they were in Eretz Yisrael, all over the country, would go to Yerushalayim. And the other half would come up from Yerichai to Yerushalayim, which means, so that there's two different girsahs over here, Mi Yerichai or Li Yerichai. So one girsah, the girsah that we have over here is Mi Yerichai, means that yes, most of the time, that what they arranged is that, yes, half of every mishmar was stationed permanently in Yerichai. Of all the 24 mishmaris and all the 24 ma'amaris, half of them were permanently stationed in Yerichai. Why? Because Yerichai is the nearest large city to Yerushalayim. It's the nearest large agricultural area. So this way, they would be able to, when they're coming from Yerichai to Yerushalayim, they would be able to bring along food for the people who are there. Kadeshi Sapko, Maimon Mazen Lachem Shu Yerushalayim, so that they can supply water and food to their brothers in Yerushalayim. So according to the Girsa that we have, Yerichai, that was the point, is they stayed, the rest of the time they stayed in Yerichai, and the purpose of that was when it comes their Mishmar's turn to be in Yerushalayim, they will come from Yerichai to Yerushalayim carrying food and water. If they came from any further away, it would spoil by the time they got to Yerushalayim. That's one possibility.
And we're talking about the Levim.
No, we're talking about the Levim in the Israel. We're talking primarily about the Israelites. Yeah. The other Girsa that Rashi mentions is that they went up Yerichai, which means people would be coming from all other countries. Of the people from that week's Mishmar and that week's Maimed, half of them would go to Yerushalayim, the other half would go to Yerichai. And when they're stationed in Yerichai for that week, their job would be to be supplying, to be ferrying back and forth supplies from Yerichai to Yerushalayim. So they would be the support, so the warehouse, basically. They'd be the supply chain for the, yeah. Mepharshim add that some Mepharshim talk about, okay, so I mean, it's not very fair then, what half of them are going to get to be in Yerushalayim and the other half are going to be stuck in Yerichai supplying food. So some Mepharshim say they would switch off in the middle of the week, like they'd stay in Yerichai for 3 days, and then in the middle of the week they'd switch off, the ones in Yerushalayim would go to Yerichai and vice versa. The other way of looking at it is, no, it's true, they would be there the whole time in Yerichai for that whole week. The next time their Mishmars or Maimon's turn came around, half a year from now, then it would be the other way around. The one who was in Yerichai last time would be in Yerushalayim and vice versa. But that's the purpose of having. So when we said that 12 of them were in Yerichai, we didn't mean that out of the 24 mishmaris. What we meant is like this. There are 24 mishmaris altogether. Out of each mishmar, half of it would be stationed in Yerichai. Either, as we said, they would permanently stationed in Yerichai, or that they would come to Yerichai. Whatever it is, half of each of 24 mishmaris, or half of each of 24 ma'amaris, equals 12 whole ones. So that's what we mean when we said that there were 12 in Yerushalayim, in Yerichai. But altogether, there were only 24. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kohenim, Levim, Yisraelim, Ma'akven et HaKorban. That Kohenim, Levim, and Yisraelim have to be there in the Beis Mikdash. They're all Ma'ak of the Korban, which some of Hashem said take out at face value, which means that he's saying, if there are no Kohenim and Levim and Yisraelim there in the Azara at the time the Korban is being brought, the Korban would be possible. Other Mepharshim say that no, that's not what it means. It just means Ma'akven et HaKorban just means that the Korban would be kosher if they're not all there. But what it means is, because they wanted all of them to be there, so therefore, if some of them were delayed in getting there, let's say you only have the Kohenim and Levim who are doing the Avodah, but none of the Yisraelim have gotten there yet, they would wait with bringing the Kohen, Ma'akvin, in the sense, not that the Ma'akiv that it prevents it from being brought, but they would wait, Ma'akiv, as in they would wait up with bringing the Kohen until they were able to show up. Yeah. In a braisa we learn, Rav Shimon al-Azoimer, Kohenim and Levim, or Kleishir Ma'akven et HaKorban. He says Kohenim and Levim, and the musical instruments are Ma'ak of the Korban. In other words, without musical instruments, you can't be bringing the Korban. Yeah. B'maikum ifsigi, what is the underlying machlokas? Mar sava ikka shir b'peh. The Tanakhama holds that the main part, everybody agrees you do have to have Shira during the Korban, which itself actually is a machlokes in a few places in the Gemara, but here the Gemara is assuming everybody agrees there does have to be Shira with the Korban. But the Tanakhama holds that we had this in Sukkah, Ikka Shira Repair, at the end of Erevin we had about the Levim can fix their musical instruments and stuff, yeah. So the Tanakhama holds Ikur Shira B'peh. The main aspect of the Shira is that the vocals. So therefore, as long as you have the vocalists of the Levim, then that's good enough. You know, the musical instruments doesn't matter. Omar Sav Ikur Shira B'kli. Whereas the Rav Shimon ben Elazar holds that the main Shira, the main mitzvah of the Shira is with a Kli. And Rashi says by a Kli. Now they had a whole orchestra over there. They had all kinds of musical instruments. The specific instrument that we're talking about, that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar is Ma'akiv, is the Abud, which is a type of flute. We learned in Sukkah Hacholil Chamisha Vishisha, that was the Cholil of Simchas Beis Sheva, and then in that connection we discussed the Cholil that they played with the Korbanos all the time. The Gemara in Erchin says about this Abu, The Gemara in Erchin says about this abov that actually they had, the abov that they used was made out of a reed, and it went all the way back to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. But that one time, the Tziva HaMelech, the Gemara says over there, the king, it doesn't say which king, ordered, you know, to beautify things in the Beis Mikdash. It shouldn't just be made out of plain reed, it should be made out of gold. So they did. They plated it with gold, but then it ruined the sound. The sound wasn't as pure. So they took off the gold, and it was back to the original reed instrument from Moshe Rabbeinu's time, and the sound went back to being good. Why not? You have a reed. We're talking about a reed, like a bamboo, like a piece of bamboo or something. Yeah.
Ah.
You carve holes in it as appropriate. Yeah. The truth is, there are some Mepharshim who explain that Abuv, Rashi is saying over here that Abuv is just saying that the Abuv is the main Keli, which sounds like Rashi means that the Abuv means flute. There are Mepharshim over there in Erchin who explain that Abuv is not actually the flute, I think the Rambam says it, that Abuv is not actually a flute as a whole, but the mouthpiece of it. So the mouthpiece of it then went back to Moshe Rabbeinu's time. The actual flute itself may have been from some later time, yeah. Anyway, so if Ikka should be clean, then you need to have the kalim there in order for the carbon to be brought. That's the point. Incidentally, the Shagas Aryeh points out that we're saying over here you need Kohenim, Levim, Yisraelim. Now, fine, Yisraelim are the Maimed. They wouldn't be there without Ma'amadot. Kohenim and Levim, you have them there anyway. You anyway have Kohenim doing the Avodah, and you anyway have Levim singing. Why do you have to make sure to have Kohenim and Levim there separately? And he says precisely that, because they're busy doing the Avodah, it's not as noticeable that they're there to stand there as representing the owners of the carbon. The whole point of the Maimed is that you have people standing over there to represent the Jewish people as the owners of the carbon. If you have just the Kohenim and Levim are bustling about doing their thing, it's not so obvious that they're standing there as the owners of it. Therefore, you need other Kohenim and Levim to actually be there as part of the mind. Yeah. Amar of Chama Vaguria Amar Rav, we talked about the Mishmaros, so we said there were 24 Mishmaros, and we said that the Nevi'im HaRishonim set them up. So who are these Nevi'im HaRishonim? So Amar of Chama Vaguria Amar Rav, Moshe Tikkun Lahem Yisrael Shmona Mishmaros. Moshe originally set up for the Jewish people 8 Mishmaros. Arba Me'elazav Adalad Me'isamar. 4 from the descendants of Elazar, 4 from the descendants of Isamar. Because in his times, relatively speaking, there weren't that many Kohenim. What Farshim talk about is that in his times there were actually enough to constitute 8 Mishmaros, or was it just the setup that when there were enough people, they should be divided into that many Mishmaros? Whatever it is, there is a Machlokas Rishonim that Rambam holds, this whole concept that we're saying the Kohenim have to be divided into Mishmaros. Where does it come from? The Rambam says it's actually a Din D'oraisa. The Torah itself says, in Parshas Shoftim, that when a Levi comes, which we know from Torah Shabbat that Levi over there means a Kohen. This is one of the examples where the Kohenim are called Levim because they're from Shevet Levi. They come, they can come, v'sheiris v'cholav atnapshe, and they can serve whenever they can serve in the Beis Mikdash, even though it's not their turn. But then the pasuk continues, levad min korav ala avos, except for what the avos sold. Now Rashi says that's referring to the institution of mishmaros. Originally, when they first set up the fact that the Kohenim serve in the mishmaros, they set up this concept of mishmaros. The fathers, the ancestors of the various families sold to each other, you get to work in the mishmaros this week, I get to work next week. So therefore, that implies, so according to Rashi and according to the Rambam, it comes out that this concept that you have Mishmaros is Min HaTorah, and then Min HaTorah, there is also that when it comes Yom Tovim, this is what the Pasuk is saying, Chiyav HaLevi, is referring to the Shalosh Regalim, that then everybody gets to work in the Beis Mikdash equally, without regard to which week Mishmar it is. And we talk about that at the end of Sukkah. The Ramban argues with that whole concept. The Ramban says the whole concept of Mishmaros is not D'oraisa. So all that D'oraisa is that everybody should have an equal chance to serve on the Yom Tovim. The fact that you have to have the rest of the time that one group has this week and one group has that week, that's not Min HaTorah.
Where did he take that?
He understands. That's how he understands the relevant psukim and the relevant midrashim and whatever the sifri and whatever. That's not necessarily that the levat mim korav ala avos doesn't necessarily refer to the institution of mishmaros. Anyway. So Moshe, of course, so the Gemara is saying over here that Moshe originally set up the Mishmaros. He set up 4 from Elazar and 4 from Isamar. Bar Shmuel ve'Midnal Sheishes. Then along came Shmuel, 400 years later, and we established them as 16, because by that time the number of Kohenim had grown. Twice as much, because eight from each, 8 from Elazar, 8 from Isamar. Bar David ve'Midnal Esrav Bar. And then David came and established it as 24. And how do we know David did that? Shenema, Bashnapta Boring Lamarkus David Nidrashu. In the 40th year of the kingdom of David, they were sought out. This is the Pasuk, this is in Divrayamim, the Pasuk, this is at the end of like four or five chapters that are describing over there how they set up the Mishmaros of Kohanim and Levi'im and the various officers in David in the various officers in David's kingdom and whatnot. When was the last of this done? Bashnapta Boring Lamarkus David Nidrashu, in the 40th year of David's kingship, the last year of his kingship, they were all sought out. And they found among them mighty people from Yazir in Gilad. Yazir is a city on the other side of the Yarden. So we see that the final arrangements were made in David's 40th year. Now, if we're saying that they were made, in David's 40th year, then that automatically means that it can't have been that's what we're saying, that Shmuel did it in his time, and then later on David did it in his time, because by the time you get to David's 40th year, Shmuel had long since passed away. We learned earlier in the Masechta that Shmuel passed away even before Shaul, and then only after Shaul passed away did David's 40 years of kingship begin. So therefore, it comes out according to the Chama Baguria, then according to Rav rather, who he's quoting from, that there's two different things: Shmuel's 16 and David's 24, 40 years later, over 40 years later. Now, Maestri, Moshe says, have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Moshe tikkun lehem Yisrael shmona mishmaros, that Moshe set up for the Jewish people 8 mishmaros, like we said, Abba mei lot, Abba mei summer. And the Braisa continues, but David or Shmuel behamidna, that's from Abba, David and Shmuel together came and reestablished it as 24. Shenema, yeah, in other words, there wasn't two stages, 16 and then 24. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Hema Yisad David or Shmuel, these are the ones, these Mishmaros are the ones that David and Shmuel set up, or Shmuel Haroya and Shmuel the seer, the Navi, Be'emunatam. Be'emunatam is Lashon that it'll last that way permanently. It was set up Be'emunah, like it'll be a trustworthy, permanent arrangement.
Would that also have had to been that David didn't have as much power in it? Not many people would have been listening to him. Four for sure would have been.
Right, but the idea would be, the same way as the Gemara discusses in Zvachim, that David and Shmuel worked together to research where exactly the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be. I mean, right, when it was published under Shmuel's name, the Pashtus, because he was the leader. But David and Shmuel were the ones involved in that research. So the same way, it might be over here, that we're saying that David and Shmuel together are the ones who worked out how many Mishmaros there need to be and who should be in each Mishmar and so forth. Yeah, when it was published under Shmuel's name, but yeah. But both of them contributed. Not like Reb Chama Bar Guria said, that first there was Shmuel and then 40 or 50 years later there was David. The answer is Hachi Kama. No, what the pasuk means, Miyisoide shall David Shmuel Ramati, based on what David and Shmuel from Rama established, Hamidum al Esrim Abba. They wound up establishing them as 24. In other words, Rav Chama Bar Guria can still say what the pasuk means is the 24 is credited both to Shmuel and to David, even though Shmuel actually only did 16, because Shmuel is the first one to start this process of redividing the Mishmaros. On the basis of that, yeah, and later on, David, on the basis of that, made it to 24, because in his time, the number of Kohanim had grown. No, David was about 30 years old when Shmuel passed away. But we find in Pesukim that at one point when David was running away from Shaul, he spent some time by Shmuel. But Shmuel had anointed David in the first place, right? But yeah, after David was anointed, there was a period of time there before Shmuel passed away. Tanya, but then we learn in yet another braisa, Moshe tikkun lehem Yisrael sheish esrim mishmaros, that Moshe set up, according to this next braisa, that Moshe originally set up 16 mishmaros, not 8 like Rav Chama Bar Guria and the previous braisa said. Shmoina me Elazar or Shmoina me Yisamar. There were 8 originally from Elazar and 8 from Yisamar. Uchsharabu b'nei Elazar b'nei Yisamar. Later on, as time went on, the children of the descendants of Elazar ended up growing and being more than the descendants of Yisamar. So therefore, Chilkum v'hamidim al Esrim v'Abba, therefore they had to redivide them and make it 24. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, v'yimotsu b'nei Elazar rabim l'roshi agvarim b'nei Yisamar. They found, when they're setting up the Mishmaros in David last year, like we said, they found that the children of Elazar were many more, there were many more heads of households than the descendants of Yisamar. V'yachlukum l'vnei Elazar roshim l'veis avis shisha asar. So therefore, they divided them for the sons of Elazar. They made heads of families 16. So 16 in the Shmaras come from him. And from his summer, they went to only 8 because they only had half as many people.
So I'm more likely from the tribe from Lazar than Mark.
Yes. Well, yeah, I guess so. For Omer, and it also says, and then another pasuk says, two psukim later, by says base of echad achuz le'alazer. There was one base of that was already held by Alazer. But achuz le'isamer, and whatever was held continued to be held by Isamer. Which means, in other words, what they did is we understand the pasuk to be saying like this: whatever each family of Alazer, each mishmer of Alazer, was split into two. So they had what they had originally, and then each one of those is split into two. Base of echad achuz la'alazer. They had one base of for each position that Alazer already held. But achuz the isamer, and whatever isamer already held, they continued to hold, which means they ended up with only 8, as they had 8 before. So we're saying it started 8 and 8, and then it wound up being 16 and 8. And it stayed like that. Yes. Well, this is in David last year, so we're talking in the Mishkan temporarily, in the Mishkan in Nov and Givon, and then afterwards in the Beis Hamikdash. It was for the Mishkan, yeah.
Even one had more than the other. The number of rotations were the same for each, or it was like
no. So each one got to serve for 1 week in the Beis Hamikdash, but that's the point. In other words, instead of up until now, according to this Braita, there were 16 Mishmaros, so it went on a 16-week cycle. So after every 4 months, approximately, then the same family would get to serve again. Now they redivided it into 24, so it's approximately every 6 months. There was a couple of Mefarshim discussed the details of how exactly they set it up, so that it would be how exactly they set it up. The pasuk describes that they made a girdle to determine which mishmar gets to serve in which order, how they serve in order from 1 to 24. They made a girdle for that. So Mefarshim discussed how exactly they did this, that they made, for example, that they started by alternating. One possibility is they started alternating a family from Elazar, a family from Isamar, a family from Elazar, a family from Isamar, etc., until they reached 16. And then from 17 and on, is only from Elazar, because then they ran out of families from Isamar. Or there's a related possibility is they did 1 and 2, let's say, from Elazar, 3 and 4 from Isamar, 5 and 6 from Elazar, 7 and 8 from Isamar, et cetera, again, until they reach 16, and then the 17th and on is only Elazar.
They split the time, the even amount of time between the 8 and the
10. No, the 8s are each all together. Well, each family is only going to have 1 week. So, yeah, it comes out 2/3 of the weeks are going to belong to Elazar, but that's because they had more people. Yeah. The Yerushalmi, in fact, points out the name of each of the Mishmaris had a name that's listed over there in Divrei Hayamim. We're going to have a couple of the names on our base. The 17th Mishmar is called Chazir, and the Yerushalmi says that was an appropriate name because then it was Chazar, it returned, that Elazar takes over. And that's why, because the last 8 were only from Elazar because they ran out of families from Isamar. Up until that point, it was going back and forth between one and the other, but from 17, from Chazir and on, it goes straight through Elazar. Why do you need a second pasuk? Once we have the one pasuk saying that you had 16 for Elazar and 8 for Isamar, then what do you need the second? What do we need to quote the second pasuk about this achuz and achuz achuz? The answer is b'chitema, because otherwise, if you only had the first pasuk, you might explain ki heichid in afishi b'nei Elazar hachinam in afishi b'nei Isamar. Just chazayin amar aleph. Just like the number of members of Elazar grew, maybe also the number of families of Isamar grew. How do you know? You're assuming that the number of families in Isamar stayed the same. It was always 8, and it was 8 before, and it stays 8 now. How do you know? You're saying that Elazar grew, maybe Isamar grew. So that's why we need the second pasuk, Tashma. That's why we need the second pasuk, based on Achuz le'Elazar, Achuz Achuz le'Isamar. That Elazar grew. They got an extra base of corresponding to each base of that they had before. Whereas Isamar, whatever they had is what they kept. Achuz Achuz, whatever they had before is what they kept. Anyway, The point of this is, Tiufta de Rav Chama Bar Groya. This last braisa is a contradiction to Rav Chama Bar Groya. He said that they started out with 4 mishmaris from Elazar and 4 from Isamar. This braisa said they started out with 8 and 8. The answer is Omalakar of Kamabagoya Tanoyi. Well, you do see it's a machloikas Tanoyim, because we have the previous Vraisa before that Lilin also said it was 4 and 4. That Vraisa argued about whether David and Shmuel together made it 24, whether Shmuel made 16 and then David made 24, like Rav Kamabagoya said. But fine, at least it agreed that there were 4 and 4. But I'm not Damri, Kihai Tana, Damashmina. So fine, I go like the Tana, who says that originally there were only 8. Yes, there's another Braisa that says originally there were 16. Fine, I'm not required to follow that. As long as I find a Braisa that goes according to my Shitta, then I'm entitled to follow that. Now, so that was all during the time of the first Beis Mikdash. Now coming to the second Beis Mikdash, Tanan Rabbanan, Arba Mishmaris Olam Min HaGoyla. Out of all the 24 Mishmaris, only 4 came up from the Goyla, from Babel, to Eretz Yisrael. To build the second Beis Mikdash. Ve'eluhen, Yedaya, Chorim, Pashchur, Ve'imer. These are also, 3 out of the 4 of these are listed in Divrei HaYamim. Yedaya is number 2 on the list over there. Chorim is number 3. Imer is, I think, number 16. Pashchur, actually, Rashi points out that Pashchur is not the name of one of the original 24 Mishmaris. So where does that name come in from? So Marsha says, we find in Sefer Yirmiyah, we find a Kohen in Yirmiyah's times named Pashchur ben Immer. The Gemara in Kedushin actually mentions that Pashchur ben Immer was actually, well, he was a very wealthy person. He had thousands, hundreds of thousands of slaves. Now the slaves of a Kohen are allowed to eat truma. So what happened was, the Gemara says, that his slaves ended up getting mixed up among the Kohenim. People did not realize that these are actually Avodim. They thought that they're real legitimate Kohenim, because they saw them eating truma, and they thought they're Kohenim. Yes. So therefore, what wound up happening, so when they came back to build the second Beis Mikdash, these people were already generally accepted as Kohenim. There wasn't any way to disprove that, really. So therefore, you wound up with the Pashchur there, so the Pashchur kind of became a family of its own within Immer. So in other words, they had, it's sort of like Rashi says in this week's parasha about several of the families. Rashi says about several of the families in this week's parasha, sometimes you have a father and a son listed. Why? Because you had, you know, the father had many children. One of them had a particularly large number of descendants, so therefore they became a family of their own. Same thing over here. Then the idea would be you had the family of Immer, they were the 16th Mishmar, and out of them you had there were so many members of Pashchur's family or descendants or slaves or what have you that they constituted a separate group, and therefore they're counted as a Mishmar of their own over here.
Are we saying these
Avadim served as Chokhmah Kohanim? That's how Marshall seems to understand it. Yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, nowadays also we have. I mean, you know, technically all Kohanim nowadays are only Kohanim Chazaka. No Kohen nowadays has absolute proof of the Yichus going back to the Beis Mikdash. But, in those times they tried very hard to make sure that things are kept accurate, but apparently, you know, sometimes things nevertheless got mixed up. Like Gemara says there in Kedushin that any Kohen who has Azus Panim is pretty well guaranteed to be one of the descendants of those slaves of Pashchur. Anyway, so that's one possibility, who this Pashchur is over here. The other possibility, other Mepharshim talk about, there is another person named Pashchur mentioned in Divrei HaYamim, who is from the descendants of Malkiah. Malkiah is, I think, the 5th of the original Mishmaris. So that could be, then, the Mishmar may have been, originally it was named Malkiah after its ancestor, later on it was renamed Pashchur after one of its prominent descendants.
Sounds like a very non-Jewish name, Pashchur.
Why?
I don't
know what Pash means specifically, but Chur, Chur means a nobleman, like a Chur Kaifras Chelas.
Yeah.
Anyway, so these four Mishmaris out of the 24 are the ones who came back. Now, you need 24 Mishmaris, you can't just have 4. So, Omdu Nevi'im Shebeneim, so the Nevi'im of that time, the Pashis Chagis Chayim Malachi, came, the Cholkum, and they redivided them into 24. They divided each of these Mishmaris into 6 smaller groups. The Hamidim, so they remade it now 24. Now we have to figure out what order are they going to serve in. So again, at the time of the first Beis Mikdash, what they did is they made a girdle. Balalum v'nosnim b'kalpi. So they wrote down the names, or Rashi says actually the nicknames of each of these 24 Mishmaris on a piece of paper, and they mixed them up and put them into a box. So Yedaya was Mishmar number 2 from the first Beis Mikdash. She, out of the four Mishmaris that we mentioned, he was the furthest up in the list. The only one ahead of him in the first Beis Mikdash was Yahayariv, and Yahayariv hadn't come. So Yedaya is the first one on the list. So he comes and takes out from the box his portion and the portions of his chaverim, of his friends, meaning he picks out 6 pieces of paper out of the box. which one of them says Yedaya, and the next one say the next five, the names of the next five the groups, subgroups that his mishmer had been divided into. So that establishes the order in which they serve. So Rashi says actually that it must have been by Ruach HaKodesh. Because you know how did Yedaiah happen to pick Dafka his name, and how did Yedaiah happen to pick the five that belong to his colleagues? So they're not impossible, you know, in the same way. So Rashi says it must have been by Ruach HaKodesh. Rosh Hashanah says not necessarily. Maybe it means they had four different boxes. They had one box for Yedaiah and his group. They had another one for Pashkor and his group, and so forth. And therefore, it's just a matter of picking out among the six, not among all 24, but among the six, you pick out your own and the other five. And then all you're doing is you're doing that to establish the order of those six. What order do they go in? You had Yedaiah, and then they were redivided. They divided into six groups. One goes by the old name Yedaiah. The other one take other names. So now you put, according to the Rashash, you put those two, six pieces of paper into one box, and you have a member of Yedaiah start drawing them out. He draws out Yedaiah, he draws out another name, etc., until the box is empty, and that establishes those six go in that order. Then along comes Chorim, who was the third Mishmar from the original time, and does the same thing, so that establishes Mishmar 7 through 12, and so forth. So, Bachorim Chorim comes along and takes out his portion and the portion of his friends to make six, V'chein Pashko, V'chein Imer, and thus they establish the order of the 24 Mishmaris. V'chein Hisnu Nevi'im Shebeneim, the Nevi'im who were among them made the following Tanai in this regard. Sha'afilu Yehoyoriv Rosh Mishmaris Oyle, even if Yehoyoriv, who in the first Mishmaris was the head of all the Mishmaris, their Mishmar number one, even if later on they decide to come from Babel to Israel, Lo Yedocha Yedayim Mimkayim, we're not going to push Yedaya out of their place, we're not going to push them down to number two and put Yehoyoriv back in the original place of number one. They lost that for not coming up when they were. El Yedaya Iker, rather Yedaya will stay the main one, Yehoyoriv Tafilo, and Yehoyoriv will be secondary to him. What does that mean? Rashi says it means like this. What we'll do is, suppose members of Yehoyoriv come up for some time during the time of the second Mishmaris, what we'll do is we will redivide the members of Yedaya into five groups instead of six, and then we'll make the sixth slot available for Yehoyoriv.
But they
won't get to be number one still. Other Mephoshim argue with that because they say, okay, but very nice. They still get a slot of their own. They're still, you want to make them lose out for the fact that they didn't come to build the second Beth Mikdash. So therefore, other Mephoshim explain that actually when we say Tafalai, we learned earlier in the Masechta that not all the Kohenim had specific named slots of weeks when they were going to work in the Beth Mikdash. Some of them were like, you had hangers on. Each Mishmar had like hangers on where, you know, if you need extra people or whatever, then they would come. So some Mephoshim say that's what it means over here with Yoyarim. Yedaiah and their other five subgroups will still remain the first six Mishmaris. If Yehoyoriv ends up showing up, then fine, we'll attach individual ones of them, we'll attach themselves to each of the other Mishmaris as like hangers-on, as like if we need extra people. But they won't actually get a slot of their own in the rotation.
How did they prove that they were from one?
Same way as you prove any other thing. Of course, you bring documents, you bring Edim. Yeah. Yeah.
But the moral of this story is be
in the right place at the right time, yeah. Rashi, by the way, Rashi in Erchin actually points out the Gemara in Erchin that tells about the circumstances when the first and then the second Beis Hamikdash were destroyed. It was on a Sunday. It was the Mishmar of Yehoyoriv. It was the first year of a Shemitah cycle, etc. And so the Gemara asks over there, how do you have Yehoyoriv in the second Beis Hamikdash? We just said there were only Yedaiah, Chorim, Pashkor, and Imer. And Rashi actually says over there that Yehoyoriv never did end up showing up. So some of Horshim say that indeed so. When the Gemara says Yehoyoriv over there, it doesn't mean Yehoyoriv, it just means the first Mishmar in the cycle. Other Mephoshim say that no, when they redivided them into the 24 Mishmaris, they took the original names. And thus, for example, we had at the end of Sukkah, for example, we had the whole story with the Mishmar of Bilga. Bilga was the 15th Mishmar from the time of the first Beis Mikdash. They listed in Divrei Yomim. The story with Miriam Bas Bilga is in the time of the second Beis Mikdash, because it was in the time of the Chashmonaim. We don't find Bilga is not one of the ones. The one possibility is that, yes, sometime during the time of the second Beis Mikdash, Bilga wound up showing up. Another possibility is that one of the six from Pashkor, who was supposed to be number 13 through 18, one of them took the old name Bilga. Yeah. Even though they're not actually descended from the original Bilgo, right?
That could be a strong possibility because
Well, with Bilgo particularly, I mean, yeah, the Gemara says that they were late showing up, yeah. Primarily, no, it's a Shvach, because when actually Ezra didn't come up at that time. Ezra came into Eretz Yisrael 20 years later. When he came, he made sure to bring along all the Psoilus. But we're talking about the original Jews who came to build when Kodesh announced that they can build the Beis Hamikdash, and they came. The Pasuk in Ezra and later on in Nehemiah lists the original returnees, and it lists these four families of Kohanim. No, that was a Shvach that they came. That they came. Later on, the Gemara mentions in Kedushin that Ezra, when he was leaving Babel, he realized now there's not going to be the main leadership of the Jewish people is going to be from now on in Eretz Yisrael, the main Talmid Chachamim and everything. You want to have, therefore, let all the people whose Yichus is not so good be in Eretz Yisrael, because then there'll be a Sanhedrin, there'll be Chachamim to keep on top of things, as opposed to in Babel, they may end up getting mixed up and nobody will know what happened. No, it was good. Just you'll have, for example, people will marry into people will intermarry among families where you don't know what their yichus is. You don't know whether there might be a grusha or halala or whatever in there. Or whereas in Eretz Yisrael, they can keep tabs on things. And therefore, yeah, the Gemara says in Kedushin over there that what wound up the halacha in those times was that the yuchsin of the Jews of Babel was considered better than the yuchsin of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael.
Before Ezra came?
No, we're talking about after. We're talking during the time of the second Mishmikdash and afterwards, yes.
Even though with the restriction of Ezra?
No, because Ezra took all the psalim and made sure they came to Eretz Yisrael.
But he still separated them
when they were in Eretz Yisrael. They could keep tabs on things, make sure that the psalim don't marry the Kshedim, yeah. When we get to in a year and a half or so to Kedushin, Bez Hashem, we'll have a whole story about this in the last letter.
Make a note of that, Doctor.
Yeah.
Make a note of what?
The Mishnah had said, "V'Yisrael shabaisa mishma beskansin barei," and we said that the Yisraelim who belonged to that mishma, giving me maimed, would gather together in their cities, recoin with ma'aseh bereishis, and they would read from the Torah in ma'aseh bereishis. And we discussed, is it that the arrangement was always you're going to have some of them go to Eretz that you're going to you always have some of them are permanently stationed in Yerushalayim, and the rest of them who can't make it gather in their cities, or is it just whichever ones are in Yerushalayim? Is it the ones in Yerushalayim also read from Ma'aseh Bereishis, or only the ones in the cities? Whatever, like we said yesterday, there's a lot of uncertainty about all this. Anyway, Menonim, the Gemara, how do we know this? Why are they reading about Ma'aseh Bereishis? Because if it were not for the Ma'amadis, meaning the Korbanis as a whole, heaven and earth would not continue to exist. As the pasuk says, Hashem promises Avram, your children are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. And Avram says, Hashem Elokim, Amo Eda Ki Iroshena. How do I know? With what will I know that I'm going to inherit it? Now, what does he mean by that? Now, the Gemara in Nedarim does discuss the possibility that maybe it means that he's actually asking for a simon, and the Gemara criticizes him for that. What are you doubting the Eretz's promise? But here, the Gemara takes it in a different sense. That Amar Avram, Rebbeinu Shloim, Shema, you promised me Eretz Yisrael. But my descendants. But Shema Yisrael Chotin L'Panecha. What happens? Maybe the Jewish people will sin before you. But at the Oisvahen Kedera Mabul Kedera Floga, and then you might wipe them out like a Kedera Mabul. You might scatter them like a Kedera Floga. What's the guarantee that
you're still questioning?
No, it's not. But this is questioning what's the source of the Jewish people that they're going to continue being there.
You have to question whether it's
No, because the Eibishter is saying, "I'm promising you Eretz Yisrael." But is that is that for all time? No
strings attached.
But it's not necessarily no strings attached. Yeah. Amalulav. The Eibishter tells him, "No, I'm not going to destroy them with the Dorah Mabul Dorah Flaga." Amalupanav. So he says, "Rebbeinu Shalom, Hadi Eni Bamor Yerashena." So tell me, with what source are they going to inherit Eretz Yisrael? Amalei, so he answers him, as the passage says, Kali Egla Mishalashas, take for me a threefold calf, the eight Mishalashas, and a threefold goat, etc. The three animals that he told him to bring, plus the two birds, are all the types of animals that can be used as korbanos, cattle, sheep, and goats, and the two, and then Torah and Yonah, the two types of birds.
Why the word Mishalashas?
So Mishalashas has a lot of different explanations of what it means. One is it means three of each, one is it means that they should be 3 years old. A number of different explanations. So in other words, he's telling him, because of the korbanos, which are symbolized by these animals, there's many different symbolisms in the animals by the bris min hapesodim, but one of them is that they symbolize the korbanos. So in the schus of the korbanos, they will inherit Eretz Yisrael. But Abraham says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Tenach b'zman she Beis Mikdash Kayem. Fine, that works out very nicely when the Beis Mikdash is standing. B'zman she'en Beis Mikdash Kayem Matehei Aleim. What's going to happen to them when there's no Beis Mikdash?
Before the
Beis Mikdash, they can bring Korbanos on Bamos.
In the
Mishkan, when we say the Beis Mikdash, we mean more generally. Some place, either you have some central place where you're supposed to bring Korbanos only there, such as the Mishkan in the desert, Mishkan Shiloh, or you have, you're allowed to bring Korbanos wherever you want, on Bamos Korbanos. Now, how do we get from the Pesukim this whole concept that Avram foresaw this? So there's a couple of different possibilities. Marsha says, because for one thing, when Avram asks Bamo'eda ki irashena, the word irashena has a double meaning. It means to inherit. It means to inherit the land, but it also means to be dispossessed from the land. The word yorash in Hebrew can mean to inherit, and it can mean to dispossess. V'hirashtim asa'aretz v'yishabba. So therefore implicitly Avraham is asking not only how do we know we're going to inherit it, but how do we know what's going to happen when we're dispossessed from it? And Abish answers him, Kali Eglam Shalashis, where the implication is, as the Gemara is going to continue, that when they learn about the Korbanos, Kali means, like we say, Kuri Macham Dvarim, like the Pasuk says, take with you words, Veshuvu Al Hashem. So we see that it's not just bring the actual Korbanos, but even just taking the words and saying the words of them also counts like it. Other Mepharshim explain also we have later by the Bris Ben Absarim. What does it say? It got dark by Yeh Hashemesh Bav Halat Ahaya, and the flaming torch and everything, et cetera, that passes through over there. The darkness, Vehime Eim Chashech Gbelin, it fell as all of. The Eivishter tells him there's going to be a Golos Mitzrayim, the Gamma Sagai Hashem Yavodadon Anoichi, but the Eivishter also showed him all the other Golos. So Avram knew that there's going to be Golos and there's going to be Churban, and therefore he's asking about this. Well, Hashem showed him, right. The Medrash says, actually, that Hashem gave Avraham a choice when the Jewish people misbehave. Do you want that they should have Gehenim, or do you want that they should have Golos? And the Medrash continues that the Eibishter convinced Avraham to choose Golos. If the Eibishter tells you this is the better choice, you take it.
Hopefully.
Anyway. Amaloi, so the Eibishter says, Kvarti Kanta, you're asking what's going to happen when there's no Beis Mikdash. Kvarti Kanta Lahem Seder Korbanos. I've already established for them the Seder of the Korbanos. It's written in the Torah. So Bisman Shekorin Behem Lefanai, when they read about the Korbanos in front of me, Mal Yaleim Kilu Kriven Lefanai, then I consider it as if they brought these Korbanos in front of me, Vanim Chaleim Akhov and Esaim, and I forgive them for their Avedos just as they would be forgiven if they brought the actual Korban. Yeah, so that's right. So therefore, that's the connection then between Ma'aseh Bereishis and between reading about Ma'aseh Bereishis and being there and representing the Jewish people by the Korbanos. It does, because we said on Amud Aleph that you need to have the Kohenim Levim Yisraelim there in order for the Korban to be brought.
No, but I'm saying that after the Korban, we don't know if the Korban is closed.
Well, we don't know the Ma'amadus because there's no Beis Mikdash to stand in to observe it, when we're saying Ilmol Ma'amadus when it's Kavash Ma'amadus, we don't really mean Ma'amadus specifically, we mean the whole concept of Korbanos, of which Ma'amadus is a part. And therefore, the Anshei Ma'amad, whose job it is to represent the Jewish people in the bringing of the Korbanos, are the ones who read from Ma'aseh Bereishis.
Some people have accustomed to saying Ma'amadus nowadays.
Right, that's the difference. Ma'amadus nowadays is they say various parts of Tanakh, like Yisrael, whatever. It's not necessarily the same thing.
Without the Korbanos,
there would not be a separation. That's what we're saying. Tanarabon, we learn in a place. Anshe mishpahoy mispalon akorban achem sheiskal berot. So the members of the Maimon would daven about the Korbanos of their brothers, that it should be accepted favorably. Anshe Maimon miskansen the Vesek Nessus, and the members of the Maimon would gather in shul. When we say here Mishmer versus Maimer, again, one possibility is that we mean over here the Rabbeinu Gershom says the Anshe Mishmer means the ones who are there in the Beis Mikdash, and the Anshe Maimer are the ones who are gathering in the shul. Yeah. So the ones who were in town, right. So they would gather in their shuls, V'yoshvin Dalat Taniyot, and they would fast 4 days out of the week. V'sheni v'shabbos v'shlishi v'revi v'chamishi. Each day they had a different thing in mind that they're asking the Eibishter to save people from. Basheni al Yodayam, on the Monday they're davening for people who are traveling on the sea, because Monday is when Yehi Rokia B'Sech HaMayim, the Eibishter has separated the upper and the lower waters. So therefore you're davening for people who are on the water. Vashlish al Hocha Midbaris, on Tuesday they would daven, they would fast, and they would daven for people who are traveling in the desert, because Tuesday is when the Eibishter made the dry land. So you want the dry land should be suitable for people to travel on. Varavi al Askarosh, the people of the circus. On Wednesday they would daven about Askarah. Askarah is Syria, that it should not attack children. Why on Wednesday? Because on Wednesday the sun and moon and stars were created. The Pasuk says, Yehi Ma'oros v'Kri HaShemayim. It says Ma'oros there without vavs in it. So you can read the word as Ma'eros, which means plagues. So therefore, they were davening specifically about this plague. In a different place, actually, Rashi on Ein Yaakov, we don't have it in our Rashi over here, but Rashi on Ein Yaakov says another thing. One reason why Askarah happens, we learned way back in Shabbos, is the punishment for Lashon Hara. Wednesday is the first time when you have Lashon Hara in history, when the moon complains about the sun, why is he bigger and better than me? So therefore, that's the connection between Wednesday and Askarah. Well, we're saying it tends to attack children specifically, we're saying. That's why they were davening specifically about the children. But maybe, yeah. Bachamishi al Ubris Menikos, and on Thursday they were daven about the pregnant women and the nursing women. Ubris Shaloyapilu, it was for the pregnant women they were daven that they don't miscarry. Menikos, Shenikos, Menem, for the nursing women that they should be able to nurse their children. Why on Thursday? Because on Thursday it says Yishutsu Amayim Sheret Nefeshchaya, the fish and the birds were created. You want there should be Nefeshchaya, you want that there should be living creatures. So therefore they were daven for the babies. Over Erev Shabbos, Lahim Asanim Nikbara Shabbos. On Friday, they would not fast because of COVID Shabbos, so they don't come into Shabbos still fasting. Kavachoyim of Shabbos Atzma, and how much more so? They're not going to fast on Shabbos itself. The Ech of the Shabbos, my time of Lahim. What about why wouldn't they fast on Sunday? Now, the Mishnah had given a reason that because you don't want to go from the Tainug of Shabbos into the fasting of Sunday. Here, the Gemara is bringing a different reason, which we said yesterday that line in the Mishnah may not really belong there.
Is that a reason that we don't say Yom Kippur on the Friday?
No, Yom Kippur on Friday and Sunday we learned in Rosh Hashanah it's Mishum Yauki or Mesia because you don't want vegetables are going to wilt, dead bodies are going to spoil.
You really equate vegetables
with the Gemara? The Gemara discussed the whole concept over there that, yeah, you want to have people should be able to eat at the end of the fast, should be able to eat vegetables and they shouldn't be spoiled, yeah. Anyway, so why not on Sunday? Amar Rabbi Yochanan of Nan Noitzrim. So Rabbi Yochanan says because of the Noitzrim, the Christians, they have their chag every week on Sunday. You don't want to then that it's their Yom Tov. So what's the problem? So Rabbi Nageshem says the vote is if we fast on their Yom Tov, they're going to be mad at us. They're going to make a whole bilbil out of it that we're treating their Yom Tov as a sad day. Other Mepharshim discuss different other possibilities. I mean, one of them is we said that the Anshei Maimed don't work during the whole week of their Maimed because they're busy with their Maimed. If on Sunday they're fasting and not working, then it's going to look like they're not working in order to celebrate together with the Goyim.
So why the Goyim are at the
So Marsha says even more than that. After all, this whole thing of Ma'amadis, we said, goes back to the time of the first Beis Mikdash. So obviously then they didn't have Christians yet. That only came at the end of the second Beis Mikdash. So he says evidently even before that, you had Goyim who celebrated some kind of holiday every week on Sunday. And therefore, because of that, they didn't want to have the Anshei Maimon fast on Sunday. Rav Shmuel Nachmani, Amar Rav Nesher Shlishi Liyitzir. Rav Shmuel Nachmani says because Sunday is the third day after mankind was created. Adam and Chava were created on Friday, so Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. The same way as, for example, we say after a bris milah, the third day the baby is the baby or an adult or at a bris milah or whatever is the weakest. The same way a person is weakest on the third day after they were created. One of the Mepharshim says specifically, on Friday, that very first Friday, is when the Eibishter did the first operation in the world. He cut out he took Adam's rib or side, whatever it is, and fashioned it into Chava. So like, so to speak, the third day after the operation, people are weak. Rish Lakish says, here's another reason, because of the Neshama Yisera. The Neshama Yisera goes away Matzah Shabbos, so therefore Sunday you're feeling weaker than usual. Domer Shlokish, Neshama Yisrael Nitmei Ba'odim Be'er Shabbos, a person gets an extra Neshama on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, Moitzai Shabbos Noitla Noitla Mimenu, and on Motzai Shabbos it's taken away from him. Shenema Shabbos Vayinofash, as the Pasuk says, Hashem rested and Vayinofash, which means Kivit Shabbos, after you rested, Vay of the Nefesh. Vayinofash, we understand it's Vay, woe, Nefesh, the extra Nefesh is gone. So you have Shabbos itself, and then after Shabbos, Vayinofash.
By nefesh.
So we see that the Neshama Yisrael leaves on not the Shabbos, and therefore Sunday you're feeling weaker than usual. Mishnah said, "B'yom Rishon Bereishis V'Hirakia." The Mishnah described how each day, what they read. They read the day, whatever they read, the parasha of that day and the next day from Ma'aseh Bereishis. So on Sunday they read the parashas from the first and second day. On Monday the ones from the second and third day, etc. Tana, we learn a writer, Bereishis v'shnayim Yehirakiya be'achad. They would have the parasha of Bereishis, they would have two oilim for it. The one of Yehirakiya, they would have one oilim. So three altogether. Now, the question is, v'shnayim Yehirakiya be'achad plus v'psukehahu. Okay, Yehirakiya works out very nicely. It's one aliyah, it's three psukim, so it makes exactly one aliyah. Ela Bereishis v'shnayim, my timer, why is Bereishis among two people? Hey psukim habyun, it's only five psukim. Uchnan or Tanya, Hakoda b'Torah yifus migimul psukim. When you read from the Torah, you're not supposed to do less than three psukim. So how do you divide five psukim among two people? So you have so Rav Amad Dolig. So Rashi says you skip backwards. You have the first person get the first three psukim. The second oila, you go back one pasuk and does the third pasuk again, and then two more pasukim. Sort of like we do exactly. In a few weeks in the Gila, we're going to learn a similar thing about how we're going to discuss how it's done for Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara is actually going to quote, the Gemara there is going to quote the Gemara over here. This is the same Machalikas, yeah. Well, Shmuel on a pasuk. Shmuel says you break off in the middle. So you read the pasuk Bereishis, the pasuk of Aretz Haisa. You say the first half of the third pasuk, Vayemer Elokim Yehi'or, goes to the first Orla. You stop there in the middle of the pasuk after Vayemer Elokim Yehi'or. The second oila, you begin by Yehi'or, by Yara Lakimus Oki Toiv, and the next pasuk after that, and so you have it's not three psukim, it's two and a half, but according to him, that's good enough.
That's not
three. Yeah. Now, Rav Dama Dolig, my time alone, I'm a pasuk, so if Rav is saying you go backwards, why doesn't he say break the pasuk in two? Because Kosava, because he holds called Psukkah, like Paskin Moshe, Anan, like Paskin and Lay. Any pasuk that Moshe did not divide, the division of the psukim is Allah Moshe Mesinai, we're not allowed to divide. So we're not allowed to break off in the middle of a pasuk like that. Yeah. Now, there are actually, Rishonim and Achronim have a field day with the fact there are a lot of places in davening where we say only parts of Sukkim. There's a lot of places in davening where we quote only part of a pasuk. How does that fit with this rule over here? There's a lot of different answers among them that this rule only applies to Torah and Nevi'im, not so much to Suvim, or that it only applies when we're learning the pasuk, not when we're just saying it as part of davening, or there's another explanation that it doesn't apply when you're saying the last half of the pasuk, which is what we do most of the time when we have a partial pasuk, it's the last half of the pasuk, or that it doesn't apply if you're stopping at an asnachta. Yeah, a lot of possibilities. Yom HaShishi Vayechlu HaShemayim Va'aretz. Yom HaShishi is the last two words of the previous pasuk. Even Nusach Ashkenaz, where they say Vayi Erev Vayi Voker, that's also only the last half of the pasuk. But there's a lot of examples. So that's why Rav says don't break off in the middle of the pasuk. Or Shmuel on the pasuk. Now we're saying Shmuel said you do break off in the middle of the pasuk. The question is why? Be paskin, and are you allowed to? Well, I'm Rav Chanina Kara, but Rav Chanina Kara means he was an expert on psukim. He was, besides being an expert on psukim, he was also a teacher. He taught children Chumash, and he said, Tsar Gadol Hoyali Eitzer Rav Chanina HaGadol. I had a lot of trouble by Rav Chanina HaGadol. In other words, I kept on bothering him, I kept on bugging him to give me a heter to be able to teach the kids a half a pasuk at a time, because it's too hard to teach them one whole pasuk at a time. He only gave me a heter only to break off for Tinokas Rabbeis Rabban. In other words, if he's teaching adults or whatever, he has to do a whole pasuk at a time. Only if he's teaching little kids, Rabbi Chanina HaGadol was willing to give him a heter to teach them part of a pasuk at a time. It doesn't say. Because it's just they're at the age when they're learning. They're not yet really chayiv mitzvah yet. So therefore you see that normally you don't break a pasuk in half. So why over here is Shmuel saying break the pasuk in half? The answer is Shmuel would answer back, well, so what's the problem? Hasam time am I mishum play up sure. Why did Rav Chanina Hagado give Rav Chanina Kara this heter? Because otherwise it's impossible. You can't teach the kid the whole pasuk at once. Hachanami lo yafshir. So okay, but here also it's impossible because I don't accept Rav's idea of going back a pasuk. Now why not? Shmuel am a pasuk, my time alo am a derelim. So why taka doesn't Shmuel agree with Rav and say go back one pasuk? He says zera mishum anachnasin, zera mishum ayotzin. He says because you have to make some zera so people may come into shul or go out in the middle. What happens, for example, so you have, let's say, the first oila does the first three psukim. You have two psukim left in that parasha until the next parasha psukha. If a person walks into shul at that point, he's going to think, or a person leaves shul at that point, rather, he's going to think the next oila is going to be reading only two psukim. You're probably going to break off by the parasha break. Conversely, if the second oila begins with Vayemer Elokim Yehiyo, which is the third pasuk, a person who walks into shul at that point is going to think that the first oila only did two psukim. You don't want that.
He knows he
can hear the psukim. You can hear when they're laying. You know, you can hear when they the beginning and end of each pasuk. But you.
Right.
Yeah. That's we always that this is the reason why we're going to talk about in a second. This is the reason why the general rule is we always begin and end in Aliyah at least three psukim from a parasha psukha or a stoma, or at a parasha psukha or a stoma, but never within three psukim of it. Yeah. I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Parasha Shashisha Psukim Parinos Vishnayim, a parasha that consists of six psukim, you can break it up into two people. Vishachamisha b'yachid, if it's a parasha of five psukim, though, then it has to be read by a yachid. One second. V'imarishin koda gimel, asheni koda shnayim, parasha zubachim, parasha acheres. If the first oila out of that five pasuk parasha reads three psukim, then the second one reads the remaining two psukim from that parasha, and one pasuk from the next parasha, because every aliyah has to be at least three psukim. V'yesh amim gimel, others say he has to read three psukim into the next parasha, l'pishein maskelin parasha, pochim shlosh psukim, because you never go less than three psukim into a new parasha. There's actually two different girsahs over here, which is why there's the parenthesis over here. One girsah is the way we just said it. The other girsah, which the Hagoy Sabach, is that we're saying that a parasha of five psukim davka has to be read by one person. Anyway, so lamando amadola glidloik. So why a parasha of only five psukim? Why should you have to go one pasuk into the next parasha, or why should you only have to have one oila do it? According to Rav that says Doileg, that you go back a pasuk, Lidloig, then fine, go back a pasuk, and you can still fit two aliyahs into this five psukim. Well, the man don't have a pasuk lipstick, and according to Shmuel, who says that you break off in the middle of the pasuk, do the same thing, break off. The answer is, why do you have to say that either you go into the next parasha, or that only one oiler can read this entire five pasuk thing? The answer is shiny awesome. It's different over there. The Islay Rabcha, because you have room. You can always read the next. You can always read the next section as well as part of the Kriya, as opposed to over here. Specifically, we only want to read each day of each of the days. We only want to read today's and tomorrow's thing. From a portion talk about, we don't want to go for the third day ahead, because most of the days we don't need that, and there's no reason. We don't want to have some days we're going to read three and some days we're going to read two. So therefore, necessarily on Sunday we have no, and also on Sunday and on Monday and on Tuesday actually, because all of those consist of eight psukim, you have no choice. Therefore, there's a similar concept. Tosfos points out that, for example, usually we say a kriya has to consist of 10 psukim, but on Purim we read only 9 psukim. Why? Because neither the part before it about the Jewish people complaining for water, nor the part after it about Vayishma Yisrael, really has anything directly to do with the topic of Vayavai Amalek. So therefore, the thing only comes to 9 psukim. So therefore, in that case, you make an exception and you say only 9 psukim. Similarly, over here, we're saying since you're limited to 8 psukim, that's it. Then you have to find a way to fit 3 aliyahs into 8 psukim. But normally, yes, if you find a parasha that consists of 5 psukim, go ahead and do the next one as well. If you can't, another example where you can't, there's Rosh Chodesh. You can't really do the one before or the one after, because again, they really have nothing to do. So therefore, again, you have to fit 4 aliyahs into 15 psukim, and therefore that's why we repeat a pasuk again, yeah. Yeah.